I saw how difficult it was to work and be productive in a WeWork. People start to whisper, people have long conversations with each other, people start phone calls in the public space, which they're not supposed to do. And every time I found my concentration was broken.
Hello, and welcome to Working It from the Financial Times with me, Isabel Berwick. You heard there from my FT colleague, the columnist Simon Cooper. He really doesn't like shared offices. In fact, he's not keen on offices full stop. Lucky for him, he has a unique solution. But for most of us, hybrid work has become the norm since the pandemic lockdowns, and the co-working sector is set to grow as more organisations ditch their leases on expensive and often half-full offices and go for flexible rentals instead. Chances are, many of us with desk jobs may end up co-working for at least part of the week. So, in this episode, we'll ask, what kind of workspace is most conducive to effective work? And how are companies trying to deliver it? But first, back to Simon Cooper. What was it about the office that he hated?
I joined the FT staff in 1995, my first full-time job. And I resigned in 98. And partly it was I found that going to an office, you know, where the windows didn't open, the temperature artificially controlled, was a sort of very unnatural environment. You're sitting in this space the whole day. And in London, you know, where it gets dark early in winter, you often barely see daylight. So often my only experience of daylight would be the walk to the tube station, the 2 minutes in the morning. And then you're constantly interrupted, I found at the FT then, by people coming in for chats. I think that a lot of people in offices everywhere are chatting to each other, distracting each other. And in a way, it's beautiful because people build very meaningful relationships, as I think I did as well with colleagues in the office. But it means that it can be an extremely unproductive environment.
As I mentioned, Simon's distaste for the office drove him to an extreme and extremely enviable solution. We'll hear more about that later. But first, here are two people looking to make flexible and shared workspaces as positive an experience as possible. First up, Laura Beals. She's founder and COO of Tally Workspace. It helps match companies with offices and co-working spaces.
We're seeing a lot more customers moving to full-time office space. I think if you're a company of less than 15 people, you can make co-working and on-demand workspace work. As you get larger than that, I think a full-time office is kind of essential just because people want a home and they want somewhere where they can leave their stuff and they can have their second screen. We've seen much higher demand for our full-time office side of the platform over the last year.
And have demands changed in terms of the facilities on offer since the pandemic?
Yes, massively. And I think some of the changes that we've seen in demand are pre-pandemic. So if you look back to kind of 2015, we saw a lot of operators and companies starting to provide perks and facilities in offices that were things like beer and ping pong tables and pool tables that were really starting to kind of blur the divide between work and social life and home life. Whereas actually now the companies that come to us, they specifically ask to not have these facilities. And I don't think that's companies just trying to, you know, improve the productivity of their employees. I think it's employees saying, you know, when I want to come to work, I want to work. And so that divide between kind of work and social life, I think, is closing a lot.
That's interesting. Although I wouldn't say no to a good coffee from a proper barista.
Yeah. Coffee actually is one that is still around, but I think it's the beer taps and the alcohol that's really falling off.
The original WeWork vision of the work as a shared social space hasn't come to pass, essentially.
I don't think so. I think people want to come in and do their jobs.
And are there any trends or demands that have taken you by surprise?
I think one of the quite interesting things that we see is people that haven't worked in an office before. So this is kind of Gen Z, where their first job was in COVID. They really struggle to make phone calls in a public space. And I think companies are having a real issue with the expectation from these young people that they'll have a phone booth when they make a phone call, whereas you can't actually offer a phone booth to 30 members of staff at a time. So I think that's something that's been quite interesting that we've seen, is that real struggle to use the office in the way that we previously used it.
Is that something that people specifically ask for, quiet?
Yes, we're seeing a lot more zoning of offices. So larger companies, if they've got space, they'll have areas for focus, library areas, and then collaboration zones. So really splitting the office into those different types of work. And I think the view when companies originally did that was that people would move around the office and work in multiple different spaces in a day, whereas actually what we see people doing is finding their space and working in it. So it kind of shows that different personalities like different types of spaces, which was maybe a little bit unexpected.
So company bosses want a clearer divide between work and home. Workers want quiet spaces where they can hear themselves think. But if ping pong and beer are out, where does that leave WeWork, a company formerly synonymous with more relaxed work surroundings? I asked Debbie Wisecarver, the company's head of global design and development.
When WeWork started again, it was a younger vibe and we were really focused on small startups. And what we've seen over time is, for one, addressing the real life demands of how people behave and experience an office through acoustics, quality lighting, you know, having the finishes that they need, you know, acoustic panels, but also that level of privacy. And I think even in our kind of aesthetic, being able to not only meet the needs of kind of a young startup, but also the needs of a more mature company. So, you know, we had in the past that had kind of fun wallpapers, and now we really are trying to create an environment that is, I think, more mature in a lot of ways, but also just more comfortable and soothing. And I think it's really more about being flexible and really servicing all member types. So not to alienate one, still in fun, still, you know, creating that a beautiful environment, but probably a little bit more sophisticated. And, you know, I think one thing to note is, you know, our older WeWorks are still there. So we might have a city that has an interesting campus feel and a mix between some of the older, more playful locations and then locations that can be a little bit more sophisticated.
So when you say playful, can that mean, you know, noisier in that older WeWork sense of, you know, the ping pong table, the beer, the thing that those of us who haven't worked there probably think of when we think of a WeWork?
An interesting example is, you know, we just opened up a new location in Milan called Miravelli. And, you know, we actually intentionally made it feel a little bit more executive. And it does have sort of a behavior that associates with that design. But, you know, right down the street is a much more lively space that has a lot of all access. And I think in the way that that neighborhood is configured, it makes sense. So really the goal for us is to have a space that can suit everyone's needs. I think that's why we've always seen a city more like a campus, right? And you know, I think that sort of noisy ping pong at one time was probably the main line through our locations. But now through COVID, we've certainly seen, you know, need for quiet space. So we've also in those spaces made behavioral changes. But for sure, I mean, we've definitely grown up and provided something that can suit the needs of, you know, those more conservative, more traditional style companies.
So, Ebby, I'd like to play you a short clip from our columnist, Simon Cooper, here at the FT. He's not a fan of co-working offices, but I have to say, to be fair, he's not a fan of offices in general, and he's worked on his own for 20 years.
I mean, I'd been in my personal office, my work flat, and during the renovations, I moved into a WeWork for, as you say, 3 months. And I saw how difficult it was to work and be productive in a WeWork. People start to whisper. People have long conversations with each other. People start phone calls in the public space, which they're not supposed to do. And every time I found my concentration was broken. And I realized if I'd been working in a WeWork for 20 years, I would have been much less productive than I'd been able to be working alone.
So I think Simon's got quite a particular outlook, but what would you say to people who are bothered by noise? Is it possible to get away from the noise? It sounds like from what you've told me that it is.
Yeah, I mean, certainly I think this proves the point that, you know, the office is really not a one size fits all. And certainly with Simon's experience, you can see that. I would say that, you know, he picked the membership that probably is in the most active part of our building. So, you know, I think you can go with a private office, which is, you know, completely secluded. And we have those for a 1P or 2P and up. You can also go for a membership in a dedicated desk space, which is an enclosed private space where, you know, it has a little bit more of a library feel. So there's a lot of factors working for someone who really needs that and thrives off that. But there definitely is space for people to be able to have their focus work.
So to change tack slightly, what's the role of beauty when you're designing a space? How do you think aware space looks affects how we work?
Yeah, no, I think it's very important beyond the beauty, but the materials you use. I mean, I think this whole idea originally was from a WeWork stance, was always to create a much more comfortable environment and not be so sterile and not feel so restrictive. And beauty is a big deal. I think light levels, I think the quality of light, I think natural light. I mean, these are all factors, you know, that we consider to create an environment that feels more homey, feels a bit softer. As far as design goes, it's beauty always has mattered. And I think genuinely people love beautiful spaces and well-lit spaces, and it really reminds them. It takes them to kind of a familiar place for sure.
Yeah, I think you and Simon can probably agree on that because he likes a beautiful space. Finally, what would your advice be for someone perhaps a little like Simon who wants to do focused work? You know, how can they get the most out of co-working? Because it's definitely here to stay and a lot more people are going to be doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the case of Simon or someone that is looking for more focused work, you know, I think the reality is just being very honest up front about your needs. Unfortunately, if you kind of go in assuming that lounge space is going to be the answer, I mean, if you're looking to sit down and just do some real focus work, that's probably not going to be the place for everyone. So really, I think just being very clear about what your objective is going in and really what you need.
That sounds like sensible advice. Choose a workspace that suits you and a beautiful one if possible, and recognize that not all workspaces will work for all people. Simon Cooper did exactly that. We've heard how much he hated the office, so he took matters into his own hands.
Yeah, so this is the very small flat that I bought in Paris 20 years ago when Paris flats were very cheap. And then I moved in when I was unmarried, and then later when I had acquired the wife and kids, the space was too small to live in. So we lived in a bigger family flat and I used it as my work flat because I couldn't possibly work at home. There was no space. I don't even have a desk in my apartment at home, and families all around. So every day I'd go to this work flat. The flat is in an Haussmannian building. So it's exactly the Paris that everybody has in their heads. This gray limestone building. It's six floors, some are seven floors, and it was built in 1890. So it's a beautiful building with parquet floors. And in a place like that, you shouldn't drastically change it. You should respect the original decor, which I've tried to do. You know, after 20 years, I realized I finally needed to renovate it. So spent a lot of money in 3 or 4 months to turn it into, the idea was, the perfect office. And so it's got two rooms. One is the work room where I do the writing, and the other is mostly a library, and it has an admin desk in it. So I separate rigorously my work, you know, writing articles, writing books, from the admin, which is, you know, all these things that plague your mind, like I've got to do my taxes, I've got to do my expenses, I've got to write to so-and-so. So I try to create a time where my work is just fully my work. I can try and be 100% in it. And I work at a desk, wooden desk made for me by my grandfather. The admin desk used to belong to my wife's late grandmother. And so there's kind of familiarity to that. And the color scheme, I've tried to make the colors as tranquil as possible. So the bookshelves are in khaki, the kitchen is in blue, and then tiles in the kitchen and bathroom are khaki and blue. So it's a very predictable, quiet color scheme, white walls. The only touch of color is the orange desk lamp. Apparently, orange kind of lights up a room, but you don't want too much of it. And then on the walls, I have a lot of football art posters and paintings and photographs that were given to me by the people who made them over the years. So it's a beautiful collection with personal meaning to me.
Many of us came back from the pandemic really hypersensitive to noise. And it's not surprising given we'd spent a couple of years at home, often alone. And even before the pandemic, workers were being squeezed into smaller and smaller desk spaces. Your neighbours have never been closer. We can't all work alone, as Simon Cooper does, but the quiet is such an appealing prospect. And it seems certain from my conversations in this episode that co-work spaces will evolve into fully zoned areas. The social bit, the silent bit, the private rental bit for startups, and as many of those weird phone and video call pods as they can fit in. But a small PSA, we've got some of those at the FT, and they are not soundproofed, so be careful. Before its near collapse in 2019, WeWork was famous for the organised fun and sense of community in its spaces. I think we've all grown up a bit, and it sounds like workspaces have grown up too. They may be less fun, but if more of us are going to be sharing space with strangers in future, being mindful of this emerging etiquette around co-working, it's not a bad thing, and maybe all of us need to get noise-cancelling headphones. Thanks to Laura Beals, Simon Cooper and Ebby Wise-Carver for this episode. If you've enjoyed Working It, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're an FT subscriber, you can get ahead of the trends at work by signing up to our free Working It newsletter. We've got original reporting and the best workplace stories from across the FT, plus the office therapy advice column. Sign up at ft.com/newsletters. This episode of Working It was produced by Misha Frankel Duval, with mix from Simon Panayi. Our executive producer is Manuela Saragossa, and Cheryl Brumley is the FT's global head of audio. Thanks for listening.